This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 7.07 a.m. Friday, the 5th of June. And in about 15 minutes, in conjunction with World Environment Day, we're going to be speaking with Benjamin McCarron, Managing Director of Asia Research and Engagement on ESG investing here in Malaysia. But before that, we're taking a look at the international markets.
Yeah, if we look at the US, it was a bit of a down day. I think on the back of investors retreating somewhat after many days of good market performance, and I think there was some caution because of the weaker US jobs data. So as a result, the Dow was unchanged. S&P 500 closed down 0.3%, while the Nasdaq was down 0.7%. But Asia did do very well the night before. So the Nikkei 225 was still up 0.4%. Shanghai Index was down 0.1%. Hang Seng up 0.2%. Straits Times up 0.3%. And the KLCI a whopping up 1.5%.
The amazing thing is we're only down on a 1.6% year-to-date basis.
Yeah. And guess what, guys? We are the best performing major Asian market. Amazing, because we are only down negative 1.6%. Wow, I never thought we would be the best of something.
It's all relative
when it comes to equities anyway.
So this morning, to give us some more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tim. Now, China has eased flight curbs after the US banned passengers coming in via Chinese airlines. Has this opened up a new front in the US-China trade war? And how might this affect the airline industry, which has already been so badly damaged by travel restrictions?
Well, first, the airline industry certainly doesn't need that. But I look at, the rhetoric is scary, especially in this environment. However, I think that the market, what seems to be telling me, is that this bark is a lot worse than the bite, because, this is an election year coming up. And I think the bet is that Trump is not going to want to do anything really drastic such as that at this delicate time. So I think that's what the market's saying, but certainly it bears watching, because nobody wants to see that rhetoric, and we certainly don't want to see an escalation of the trade war.
And Tim, if we look at the initial jobless claims data, it shows as many as 21.5 million Americans are unemployed, levels we obviously haven't seen since the Great Depression. Now, tonight, we're going to see non-farm payroll numbers. I mean, what are you expecting? And the big question, when can we expect to see a recovery?
Well, I tell you, it's better. They're looking for better. These numbers are so crazy. To get a prediction, doesn't seem worth it. But I think overnight, it's not going to change. But I think the market wants to see gradual improvement. And when will they get back to normal? Well, it looks to me as though continuing claims are kind of stuck. And, this PPE, payroll protection plan, was supposed to bring workers back. And I'm not so sure that that's happening as planned. So, again, this could be not as, this might not be as quick as the market seems to be pricing in. But nevertheless, I think we want to see improvement. I guess how big the improvement is. So I'm hopeful it's going to be good. But, the numbers are still deeply red. So.
And jumping across to Europe, the ECB is buying up to 1.35 trillion euros worth of bond purchases. And with this very accommodative monetary policy, is it time to reassess European equities as part of a portfolio allocation?
Well, I'd say that's just what they need and who they needed it from. Because we've been looking for this type of action, I think. And, we really just haven't seen it. So I think it's a positive. And the sector has been so, or that, Europe has been so dogged and cheap that perhaps I think you're starting to see some flows towards there.
But is there any particular sector that you think looks exciting in Europe?
Oh, well, they don't have a big biotech sector, but I think, as far as you're looking at a global recovery in manufacturing, I think that you could see something, along those lines. And obviously, I think the energy sector for some parts as well could play. But I think it's mostly the industrial manufacturing that I think will lead Europe. And, again, this is what they've been looking for. I think what all of Europe has been looking for.
And since you mentioned oil and gas, right, Russia and Saudi have agreed to extend all production cuts through July, although the rest of OPEC Plus is yet to come on board. Now, how important are these cuts in supporting the price of oil now that global demand is, starting to pick up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's happening at a time when, you know, demand is picking up. And if it does, I mean, you could see a real, I think, a good boost to oil prices. You know, it's interesting. We got right back to where we were before the Saudi-Russian, production war started. So, again, it's you know, good to see oil prices where they're at. I think producers are still pretty hurt pretty badly. So, you know, there's a chance if demand picks up that I think you could see prices rise. But to bring production back online, especially from a lot of these major producers, would be tough. So I think it's positive. But, you know, again, it depends, what happens with this economy and if this really gets back to normalization quick or slow.
Would this then also mean it's worth looking at some of the oil and gas names in the U.S. which have been laggards?
You know, I love some of the refiners in the U.S., and especially since, because what I think, and especially in an inflationary environment, I think crack spreads will widen, and I think they'll be the biggest benefactors. But as I said, I still want to stay away from the producers, and I think the midstream and downstream is where I would be concentrating.
And speaking of stocks, you know, ZoomInfo has also priced its IPO at $21, making it the largest U.S. technology listing this year. So is this going to propel more tech stocks to list in 2020? And is Zoom on your radar, Tim?
You know, the founder, I heard today, I never realized this, put $25,000 on his credit card to start that company. It was an amazing story. if Zoom, I don't really know Zoom's business model itself, but I have to think there's going to be a lot of good competition in there, and then that will force prices down. So in that business model alone doesn't excite me. But nevertheless, I think the tech sector, you know, we made a new high in the NASDAQ today and closed lower after, I think, taking out yesterday's low, a little reversal. But nevertheless, the environment's good for tech and the market's hungry for it. So you probably will, if the NASDAQ keeps burning it up.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. And that was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago, giving us some insight into quite a number of things, particularly he thinks the market there is in the US is quite hungry for tech. And I think he's right, you know, because we've seen, particularly during this pandemic and movement restrictions around the world, everyone's focus is on how technology is catching up and adapting to this new normal.
Yeah, but one stock which hasn't done so well, but is somewhat tech related, has been Slack, right? The team communication software. I mean, it's one of the companies which was supposedly supposed to benefit from COVID-19 as we all moved basically to work remotely from home. Now, the company did report steady revenue growth, but failed to achieve a blowout that Zoom delivered earlier this week. So Slack's revenue grew 50% in a quarter, which ended on April 30th. And that was about $200 million. But guess what? That wasn't enough to make markets happy. So the share price actually was down more than 16% as a result.
Yeah, they also didn't disclose any new daily active user counts, but they did say that they'd added a record 12,000 paid customers in the quarter. Prior to that, in the two prior quarters, it added about 5,000 new customers. But Microsoft Teams, Slack's main competitor, has also expanded in recent months. The Teams communication app now has over 75 million daily active users, up from 44 million in mid-March. So as Tim says, it's a very, very competitive space.
It is, and still on tech, Broadcom, a chip maker that supplies Apple and other electronic companies, gave a lackluster forecast. Now, this comes as demand for smartphone parts have been weak, overshadowing rising orders from data center owners. Now, revenue in the 3 months will be about $5.8 billion, roughly in line with analyst predictions. Now, their chief executive officer, Hock Tan, said that the company's third quarter guidance for semiconductors reflects a surge in demand from cloud, telecom and enterprise customers, but offset by supply chain constraints. Now, fun fact, the CEO is a Penang boy.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's a Malaysian who just only earns like 100 plus million US dollars in CEO pay. One of our success stories.
Just only 100 million US dollars. So 3 months ago, Broadcom also withdrew its annual sales forecast and gave weak near-term guidance, citing the coronavirus pandemic. In April, the company also told customers to place orders at least 6 months ahead of time because of shelter-in-place rules in Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore and the Philippines. So this is one of the names that we will be watching quite closely as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. But right now, we do have some messages for you. And up next, we're speaking with Benjamin McCarron, Managing Director of Asia Research and Engagement on ESG Investing. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.